Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albracht, Paul Savage in for Tommy today. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. And what do you know? The sun came up today. Everybody can be nice to each other. We can be civil. We can get back to, you know, the things that we do each and every day. And election day always makes you feel a certain way in this country. But we're glad that we have the privilege to be able to do it. Coverage going well into the night. I'm sure that a lot of people are tired this morning. I am tired this morning as I was working elections last night for 12 News. And then, of course, got home and, you know, watch the national coverage the rest of the way. But it's through. It's over. So for, I know a lot of people, that's the biggest celebration today is that it's over.
Right.
And soon enough, we can all move on. But we're happy to be here with you. We appreciate you being with us each and every way that you take in the show. You can listen to us, of course, right here on KFH. You can watch the video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X, all the different ways to take in the show. You can call in right now. It is a busy day of guests, but you do have the IHOP hotline open for you the first half hour of the show here, where you can celebrate the weekday's new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. That number, of course, is 869-1240. Appreciate you being here. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, Paul. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm good. I'm kind of like you. I'm a little tired, and I gave up a poker game just to kind of watch what went on last night. I thought,
You did what?
Well, I gave up a poker game, and I said, you know something? I mean, as much as I love to play poker, you know, and gamble a little bit, you know, I just said, you know something? This is kind of like a historical moment, and I said, I just kind of want to see how this unfolds. You know, the last couple elections, I haven't really paid as much attention as I should. You know, then you talk about stealing the vote and all this other stuff, and I said, well, I don't know. I didn't witness it. I didn't see how it happened. I didn't see how it went down. So I said, well, I'm going to watch tonight and just see what happens. And it's obvious America spoke. And you know something? When they speak with one voice, you just got to listen. So, you know, that's the way it works.
Can we all just be nice? It's always about half feel one thing and about half feel the other.
I know.
And, you know, like I miss the days when you just kind of, you know, you voted and you didn't have to talk about it every waking second of every day.
Right.
Yeah. You know, my kids are like, you know, and it's fun for them because it's the first time they've had one of these. They're young enough and they're like, oh, who'd you vote for? And I said, kids, we don't talk about that. Like, we're not. And they're like, why? I'm like, there was a time where, you know, there was a generation or two ago where, you know, like you talk about that stuff, you might get punched in the mouth. Like, just everybody just be nice to each other.
Right. There's a reason when you're making your picks, there's these little walls on the side so nobody can see.
That's right. We're all rowing in the same direction one way or the other. Yeah, so I always do feel patriotic around the event because I think it's important that we care and it's important that we have the ability to do this. And it's important that people have, you know, the freedom to change their minds and do all these things. And then, you know, that's pretty much. And then I'm like, okay, but let's get through it because it's the months leading up to it. And, you know, probably just the weeks after it let's move on and actually, you know, see the government try and do its work and do the things that it's supposed to do. But we're through it.
Yep. Can I ask one question real quick before we get off? Do you know, there's people that I know who are having, I mean, their families are literally torn up by all this stuff. I had a cousin who is just nuts going one direction on this whole thing. And, I don't know why, but I mean, it. Families are literally mad at each other.
I think it happened less this time. I think it probably did.
I really do think it did. But, you know, there's still some of that. I mean, there's still some of that stuff going on. And I'm just telling you here right now, there's nothing like your family. You're only going to have X amount of family. And if you let something like this come between you and your family, shame on you. So I guess the only word, and Jacob, I'm going to speak on your behalf. I never do, but I'm going to speak on your behalf because I know you would believe what I'm about to say, and that is, let it go. Love each other. Love your family. It makes no difference who a family member voted for. Love them. Just
right.
This can't come between you and family. Was it okay to speak for you on that?
Yeah, it is. And don't let the, you know, don't let the right. big mouths, you know, try and convince you otherwise.
Yeah.
Like don't even listen to the people that would tell you that kind of thing. Like just put those people in their own lonely little miserable boxes and let them be lonely and miserable. And
go.
The rest of us will all love each other and mm-hmm. move on. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I have, you know, my people in my family, you want to talk about ends of both ends of the spectrum.
Do you have that in yours too?
I got them both. Yeah, brothers, like close family.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah.
This may surprise you, Paul.
Okay.
But we like to get a little argumentative for sport and for fun, right? But
yeah,
you know,
there was
a time where that got a little dicey. And the pandemic, I think, had something to do with that.
Oh,
and that
did.
Sort of
no
energy,
question. No question,
being in the rearview mirror is a happy. I don't think it did not feel that way to me this time, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm hoping that everybody can just, you know, now be nice to each other, and mm-hmm. we'll see if we can't. Be the best country in the world that we always have been and always will be.
That's
so,
right.
You know, election day, another one in the books. Congratulations to half of you, and I'm sorry for the other half of you, I guess is the best I can say, but we'll all be just fine.
Fair enough.
It's interesting. K-State, I'm a little surprised they did this. I'm surprised we had games last night, but K-State opens on election night against New Orleans, Paul, and they looked fantastic. So we're going to get into the K-State game last night at home. They handle their business, which we expected that they would. They handled it in pretty emphatic fashion, so we'll dig into that a little bit. We've got Shreya Salata, our KU insider, coming up at the bottom of this hour. And so we will talk to Shreya about not only the KU opener and not only the KU big game on Friday against North Carolina, but KU football's back in action this week. So we'll talk about that as well. A lot to cover with Shreyas. And then at the top of the second hour, Kevin Saul will join us, Wichita State Athletic Director, for his regular visit on the program. The Shockers opened with a really nice road win. We're coming down the home stretch on the volleyball season, and we're getting ready for a Shocker home opener. And yes, Shocker fans, I will ask Kevin Saul about all the, you know, kerfuffle regarding the cheerleading team that's going on right now. So we'll get into that a little bit as well as we make our way through that. Appreciate Kevin hopping on this week to talk about everything Shockers. So that's all coming up for you on the show today. We got Jad Chambers producing. He's ready for your calls, your video comments. You can leave us voice messages through the Odyssey app. If you're listening to us that way, there's a little microphone. You just push it. You can send us a message. Easy peasy.
Damn.
All right, we're going to come back. Let's get into this K-State game. When we return, a resounding victory over New Orleans. They covered the ridiculous number, and they look pretty good on the way. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Crestview Country Club, fall at the club. You can still golf. I'm going to try and get out on Friday and golf. Beautiful day for it today. Of course, the tennis court's still rocking and rolling, but it's the holidays at the club that Crestview wants you to know about. Brunch experiences. So you can go to the club Thanksgiving. They have brunch, or they have meals you can take home and finish cooking to have at the house. I can tell you that for the last 3 years, since my family's been out there, we have utilized this. We don't have extended family in the area. It's the busiest week of the year at the HTO stores, and I almost always work Thanksgiving on TV. So it has been very nice for people like us, and I know there are a lot of you out there, to be able to turn to that, have some sense of community. So it never slows down at Crestview. And you know, there are memberships where you just take part in the social parts of those things. If you're not a golfer or whatever, give them a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask them about all the different ways you can be a part of it. We appreciate their support of us here on Sports Daily. Paul, K-State opens the season last night, and they open with a bang. They get a big win over New Orleans, 89-65. Not surprising. They cover the number. I don't know what that means this time of year, but they look good on their way to do it. I think the most interesting statistic is single-digit turnovers. They accomplished that with a whole lot of points scored and a pace that makes you feel really good. David Gasson had an incredible game. Well, maybe his best game as a Wildcat. 21 points, 15 rebounds. Coach Tang said after the game that he paid attention to the scouting report because that was, you know, just matchup-wise something that they wanted to do. Coleman Hawkins, of course, the biggest name coming in through the transfer portal, did not have a great scoring night, but was able to still pour in 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block and a steal. So he kind of filled it up a little bit. And then the thing I've told people to watch for is Brendan Housen, another 9 three-point shots attempted, shot better than 40% from three. Clearly something K-State wants to feature is his shooting. Now, we've seen that through the exhibition in this first game. Max Jones also made 4 threes. He only shot 5 of them. So a really nice performance, by the way, from Max Jones, the senior transfer, 19 points. But it was, you know, Paul, I think between the turnovers and the fact that you had upperclassmen leading the way for K-State, when it's all these new players, we don't really think of that. But this is a really experienced basketball team. And I, you know, if you're trying to draw one up for an opening game against New Orleans, that was as much as you want to see from K-State, I think.
Well, you shoot the three pretty well as a team. You shoot the basketball, you know, pretty well. I mean, you're playing good defense. I mean, this wasn't really a great test. This isn't what we would call, you know, a quality team when you start sure. thinking about having the, you know, 5 of the top 10 teams in America, right, as we speak, are in the Big 12. I mean, that's the way this works. So you got what you wanted out of this. You got what you knew. It wasn't going to be a huge test. This was going to be one of those games where you get some kids in, you let them play, you see how things work, and things looked good. Things looked like this is going to be probably – Do I say, Jacob, maybe a little bit of an improved team? Right now, I think after one game, I think this
question.
There's no question.
No
question. The question is, how much? How big will this improvement be? But it's going to be big enough to take the Kansas State Wildcats and bring them into national prominence. I think it will. We saw that last night. So, you know, you just got to think to yourself, this was a good warm-up. I don't want to get too excited yet. We've got a couple other games down the road in the next month or so that we'll certainly learn a lot more about. LSU, for instance, is one of the games I think about. I think George Washington will be an interesting. They got a good tournament going on.
You know, I don't even know. Like that's the thing. It's so hard now. It's always hard early in a year. It is so hard with the transfer portal for me get a gauge of what to expect early in the season from the opposition, mm-hmm. right? Like we can follow along with Wichita State and KU and K-State and what they're doing in the portal and take guesses. Man, I don't know what LSU has. I don't know what George Washington has. That's what it gets really hard in the early part of a college basketball season now to just sort of have a good grasp of what everybody else is doing. It's hard enough to keep up with what the team, you know, what the teams followed her. So for me, when I look at these things, it's the things within a game. Mm-hmm. We know that K-State, it doesn't matter who K-State plays right now, mm-hmm. right? Because they have the 12 schedule. It's irrelevant. Mm. You know, we'd like to see them get tested. I'm sure they would like to get tested, but they're not going to play the kind of non-conference schedule that Kansas is going to play. Mm-hmm. And what do we take from it? I think stylistically, we take what we can, and what we can take is that, you know, they shot a high percentage. It was against a team that, you know, is not going to challenge them defensively the way that a lot of Big 12 teams are going to challenge them. I think, you know, we look at David Castillo, Paul, took 8 shots in 11 minutes. Okay, the talented freshman out of Sunrise. 8 shots in 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them. Right? It's going to be him. And now 6 of those were threes. K-State took 34 threes in this game.
That's right.
That is something we're seeing now through an exhibition in this that I would be willing to guess at this early juncture that will be a big part of what K-State does this year. Mm-hmm. I think shoot a lot of threes. I think they can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been talking about that. And to me, Housen was the most obvious. Like he's going to get up a lot of 3-point shots in each and every game, a lot of them. And he's the caliber of shooter where what we saw last night, I think is pretty reasonable expectation, a little over 40% on a lot of taken threes. And that's what they want. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to see. you know, is Max Jones that kind of shooter regularly? Mm-hmm. We didn't get to see him in the exhibition game. But, you know, you had a lot of guys taking a lot of threes. And so that, I think, is we don't know a lot of what to take from these early games is something we can take from K-State.
Right.
K-State looks like they're going to be a team that shoots a ton of three-point shots.
It does look like that. And what it also looks like is that they might be pretty good at it. So we'll see how that works. And the only reason I bring up LSU and even George Washington to a lesser extent is we all know that LSU is going to have some NIL money. I mean, they're going to have some good players. But it's just like, you know, this is a conversation we had 2.5 months ago when college football started, Jacob. Do you remember? Says, well, how good Alabama's going to be? Oh, I'm not real sure. We got to study the portal and see who's coming back. And, you know, if you remember, there was a day on this show we would talk about LSU has 3 seniors returning and 2 juniors returning and a sophomore got a lot of playing time last year. And you know, we'd break it down like that. Now you go, well, who's on this team? Well, we don't know. Will they gel? Well, we don't know. What presence will the newcomers have? Well, we don't. There's so many questions that we don't know. Just like football, because we now have that feeling, just like football, with who's who, what's what, who's good, who's not, who's a pretender. Is Indiana a pretender? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. We'll see in the next few games. But we have an idea now. The same thing will happen in basketball. We don't have an idea who's good. I know this. I think Gonzaga's good. I think Gonzaga's pretty darn good. And I think they're going to be a contender for the national championship, if I can go out on a limb and say that, after the thumping they gave Baylor, what was it, 2 nights ago? Yeah, it was 2 nights ago. And so anyway, and I watched some of that, and it was hard to watch because they are good. They are ball hawks. They shoot the ball. They defend. They do everything. And I watched a good chunk of that game. So anyway, we don't know that much about K-State. I guarantee you, in the next 30 days, we're going to know a lot more about this team because there's new guys, but everybody's got new guys, Jacob. It's hard to tell who's what.
That's what I mean. It's, you know, everybody's playing with all these new players. But we've seen David Gasson for a while. He's about the only holdover here for K-State.
I know.
And he looked really good. His best game as a Wildcat. That's interesting. I've always liked him as a player, you know, as a talent and all these things. Maybe it does click for him this year. I don't think he's going to lead the way offensively for the Wildcats most nights, but that's great if he does, because if everybody else is going to take a ton of threes and he can give you the steady offense down low, I mean, 21-15, I don't care who you are. That's a good night,
right?
That's a good performance. But I think if you ask the coaching staff, and I read through some of the, you know, the post-game notes and all that, we were obviously paying attention to an election and all these other things last night. They're very happy. Jerome Tang was very happy that they kept, I think he said something to the effect of, I don't even know when the last time we had single-digit turnovers. You know, if you've got 24 assists to 9 turnovers, you'll take that. If you've got, you know, 89 points scored and only 9 turnovers involved in that, you almost had as many steals as you had turnovers. You certainly had more takeaways than turnovers. They had 4 blocks and 7 steals. Like, those are the things, as coaches, I think that, you know, that they're going to be happy about, that we can sort of pay attention to, knowing that the level of defense they faced isn't up to snuff with what they'll see in the conference. But for me, I think stylistically, that's what we begin to look at, right?
Right.
And stylistically, it looks like the identity of the team will change a little bit. They're going to shoot it a ton. They're going to shoot it from the outside a ton. And I think it's a good fit for that. This is what I've always said about this particular group. When it comes to K-State, as they were putting this class together and Tang was, it's always felt to me like all the pieces fit really well together. From the outright, you bring in a guy like Hawkins, you know, he can help with Gaston. You've got some size. You can clean up. You're there for rebounds. You're there for second chance opportunities, so that when you take a ton of threes, which is what it's looked like they're going to do through recruiting and how they recruited, like, it all fits and makes sense. That's why I'm bullish on them. That's why I think they'll exceed expectations. That's why I think they'll be back in the NCAA tournament and be a top half Big 12 team this year. So all signs are good right now. They played New Orleans at home. Take what you will from it.
Right.
But it certainly could have been worse. And, you know, it's we're trending in the right direction. We'll talk to Wyatt Thompson about it in our weekly visit next week. I know we've been focused so much on football, but we'll talk to him about the basketball team and what he thought of the opener as we get into it. We'll talk to Tim Fitzgerald about it tomorrow, our K-State insider. So plenty more to come on that. Speaking of insiders, let's get our KU insider in next, Paul.
Yeah, let's do KU.
They had a basketball opener. They've got a big one coming up on Friday, and the football team's back in action. We're going to touch on it all. Sri Islada joins us next. It's Albrecht and Savage at Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere. Mornings at KFH, we enjoy a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. I know Mr. Savage has his in hand as we speak. Always appreciate them keeping us fueled up, not only at KFH, but the entire Odyssey family of stations, by the way. We talked to K-State. You've got K-State Wildcat Football Talk Show tonight, the Chris Klieman Coaches Show. That is tonight. Should be an interesting one after the loss to Houston. That'll be at 7 o'clock. Right here on KFH. It follows the Chiefs Kingdom show at 6 o'clock. You can also catch all of that on the Odyssey app. As we get you ready for a weekly visit with our KU insider, Sri Islada here, it is a busy time. We welcome in Shrius. And, you know, Shrius, as you get settled there, we'll just sort of open things up. We've got a busy time of the year. Do you feel like, Shrius, that we have transitioned to basketball season now, the way the football season's gone? So we have the opener and we got a North Carolina game on Friday. What do you think people are more fired up about? KU North Carolina on Friday or in basketball, or KU hosting Iowa State on Saturday in football?
Is that even a question? Come on. It's basketball season. It's basketball season. This KU team make a bowl game. It's basketball season. No one cares. It is.
Well, listen. KU, so here's what's interesting to me about KU football the rest of the way. They can play. I mean, you want to talk about the opportunity to play spoiler here. Iowa State, BYU, Colorado, they can be a thorn in the side of the Big 12. Like, K-State fans right now ought to be the biggest KU fans the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Because KU can help them a great deal. Most notably, when we look at the Big 12 standings, if they can beat Colorado. Because K-State can still control it with Iowa State. BYU, they're kind of toast unless BYU absolutely falls apart. It's Colorado all of a sudden that they need to lose again. Here's KU for Colorado. You know, that's so I think there's still some meat on the bone there. It's kind of, but you got to kind of be, you just want KU to kind of be the jerks of the league, I think, if you're a Jayhawk fan right now, and ruin everybody's holidays.
I mean, I think that's, you know, that's a sentiment I see on Twitter, right? Kansas State fans are turning into KU fans for a little bit, like, because they know their season hinges on a little bit of KU magic. And I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup against Iowa State. You know, we know historically the Cyclone fans are the biggest, I think, road-traveled fans of the Big 12.
Oh, yeah.
And in this matchup where they're right next to Kansas and the fact that they are going to be playing Arrowhead, I really think it's going to be fascinating to see how many people show up, because this could probably be the most populated KU game or really fan-filled KU game in Arrowhead, I think, all year. If Kansas pulls off this upset, obviously, you know, Iowa State lost to Texas Tech, so they lost a little bit of luster there. But if Kansas pulls off the upset against a good Iowa State team, I think that's a really good indication of maybe there is some signs of hope for the rest of the season.
Right.
I just, you know, me, it's hard to see them going 4-0 the rest of the way. They haven't beaten Baylor at Waco, by the way, which ends their season, ever. They're 0-10 all time. So historically, it trends-wise, it's not a great end of the season look for KU football. But, you know, I really think if this is a turnaround of the season, it starts Saturday and it starts with a definitive win against the Cyclones on Saturday. If KU football wants eyeballs on the rest of the season, it starts by winning on Saturday.
You know, Tarius, I love you to death. You know, I really enjoy every time we get you on. I really do. I'm one of your big fans. I want you to know that. But you're a week too soon on the way you're playing this out. Well, oh my gosh, it's basketball because, you know, nobody cares about football. Well, let me tell you this. You know what Coach Leipold's saying in the locker room right now to this team? Here's what he's saying. You guys want to be legends? You guys want to be remembered forever? You guys want to make a mark on college football? You go out and you beat Iowa State. You beat BYU. You beat Colorado. You beat Baylor. You're capable of doing it. And you beat them. You go to a bowl. You become a legend because everybody said it can't be done. Now, if they go out and get blown out by Iowa State, I'm buying what you're selling. I am buying, buy. But I'm not buying it right now, Sharias. Not yet. No, there's still four games. You lose to Iowa State, I'm with you, buddy. But, man, I'll tell you what. There's a chance for this team to be a legend. Jacob, you like legends, don't you?
I do. I like Paul's coach speak, too. But it's I do. I think there's something to it. But they got it has to start now. Like these, you know, another close loss doesn't matter anymore. I guess then it becomes, wait, look, we saw Iowa State last week. I love Tech in that game. I'll sit here today and I would tell you that I absolutely think that KU's best game can beat Iowa State. I don't think there's any question about that. They're at home. It's a 2.5 point spread, people. 2.5 points. That's it. KU on their best day can beat Iowa State. Is that not enough? Do you think they can, Trias?
I definitely think they can. You know, my optimism doesn't extend past this week, though. I don't think the, you know.
That's right.
Guys, I came into the season think they'd win 11 games.
Right.
And the other side of it, where I think they're not going to win 4 games in a row. I just don't see it. Maybe they will, but they haven't put together 3 straight games where they look like a good team. And they have games. They lose in the same fashion every single time. We've had this conversation how many times? Yep. Kansas was in a position to win. Then they came to the fourth quarter. They blew a lead, and they lost in the last 2 minutes of the game. How many times are we going to see it before we say they are what they are? I don't believe in them because they haven't given me anything to show that they should be believed in. Okay? Right now, Kansas' season hinges on beating on Iowa State, a team that is, all accounts of record, a better team than Kansas. Even if they're more talent than Iowa State does, it doesn't matter because it hasn't showcased itself all season. They've won, what, one conference game so far this year? One? In the bottom of the conference, everyone thought they'd be a top five team at worst, okay? You know, to me, Kansas' entire ability to turn it around, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Iowa State. I'd be surprised if they beat Colorado, if they beat Baylor, if they beat BYU. Me, that is the hardest possible thing they can do. They haven't consistently been able to put it together all this year. And you know what's going to end up happening is they're going to have a win against Saturday against Iowa State. KU fans are going to be excited, and they're going to go get blown out against Colorado. That's what's going to end up happening because that's, you know, what the season has been like for Kansas. No consistency week in, week out. And they've come out of bye weeks looking better than what they are, but then they don't hold it for the rest of the way.
Yeah, look, I think we're putting the cart way before the horse. It's become interesting now in the Big 12 standings more than anything else that KU, based on the schedule, is in a position to be this great spoiler of the league. And so we'll watch it. And they play on Saturday. But it is basketball season. I did lead you in on that for a reason, because I do think people are fired up. Look, I don't know what to make of Howard. I think that, though, as we look at KU right now, we're seeing what we want to see, right? Like, this is what you want to see. You saw them make half their threes. That was a problem last year. We're seeing that this team, in some form or fashion, is going to have depth. It looks like at every level, with Flory Badunga looking, I think, probably way ahead of schedule. So, you know, it's a game against Howard with a big one looming, but this is looking positive for the number one team in the country.
You know, I think that's a great point you made about the threes thing. I think for me, in these early season games, I don't really care too much about the result. Obviously matters. But trends, I think trends are a better indicator of what Kansas basketball can be or cannot be. Last year, we knew from game one that they were going to struggle with shooting threes because they went, what, 6 of 29 or something? Exhibition game. Then they didn't hit threes, I think, in most of non-con play besides a select few games. To me, this Kansas team, on paper and in actuality, I think it is a good amount better than last year.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know how much that means in the sense of winning the Big 12 Conference because it's too far and too early to think about. But I think, you know, you go into this Friday game against UNC, a team that struggled against Elon. You know, you come out there with a commanding victory. If you're a Kansas fan, you feel good. You feel good because it's a good start to the season and you're doing exactly what you need to do. But more importantly, there are certain trends that I think Kansas can showcase to me that gives them long-term confidence. It's about shooting threes, making threes, attempting threes. Those three things, if they do that, you know, that is a long-term indicator of their tournament success. Bill Self teams, historically, the ones that have won, have got to shoot more threes. They have done it in the years they've won. And the, even like the year that, you know, 2022, I believe it was, they still were, I think, top, you know, 200 in three-point attempts. The last few years, you know, they haven't been top 300. Last year, I think they were near the, like, late 200s. So that's a great indicator in college basketball of long-term success is can you attempt and make enough threes to win games? And I think this UNC team is a, you know, a team that's beatable. They have three really good guards, some of the best in the nation. But I think, you know, Kansas can go out there and really assert their dominance with Hunter Dickinson getting back to his, I think, usual self, back from injury. And like you said, Lori looks good. I think it's going to be a really good test against UNC. I think they don't have a – I wrote a story about it today, but, you know, Bill remains cautiously optimistic about Lori. I asked him, you know, if you think that the, you know, hook shot he showcased and that kind of post-spin move he did against Howard, is it good? And he's like, that's great confidence-boosting plays, but they don't really mean anything. And I kind of agree with that sentiment because Howard doesn't really mean anything. No disrespect whatsoever to Howard.
Sure.
But it's like they haven't played anybody and they don't have anybody to match up with Flory. But I think the archetype that Flory Badunga is very exciting. A rim-running, rim-protecting big man that Kansas has lacked, I think, for a long, long time.
All right, Shreyas, I'm going to make you put on your your projection hat. And yeah. 9 out of the next 11 games, all right, it's like a killer's list. It's North Carolina, Michigan State, Duke, Creighton, Missouri, North Carolina State before you get into the Big 12 play. That's a heck of a run right there. That's a really tough schedule. How many games do you predict KU, and by the way, because I think these are important games to get KU where it needs to be, particularly in the days of the portal nowadays, you know, to get kids where they're playing with each other, everybody's got somebody new. But 9 out of the next 11 games, those are tough games. Where will KU be? Where does KU need to be, more importantly, wins and losses out of those 9 really good basketball teams that they'll be facing?
Ideally, you come out of that stretch with 2 losses or
two.
I think.
2, okay.
You know, looking at probably a loss between, you know, Duke, UNC, and Michigan State. One of those. I guess they'll lose one of those, you know, if I was a betting man. And then you might have another loss just kind of because you don't fall or something happens or injuries or whatever. But I think, you know, they should, you know, on paper, be the favorite in most of these games, if not all of them. I think the only game that I'd be curious to see if they're a favorite or not is Duke, and I guess that depends on how they look the rest of the year. I mean, you know, up to that point when they play in Vegas. But, I really do think they should come out of this stretch with less than 2 losses if they are what everyone thinks they are.
I want to go back to 3. Shreyas Lada joining us, KU, KC Star, beat reporter for KU football and basketball. We're talking hoops. I want to go back to the 3s for a second. They took 22. Most of those are coming from Zeke Mayo, to be expected. He took 8 of them. Rylan Griffin took 4 of them. Coit took 3. So it's really kind of Mayo taking the lead on that. I'm curious to know what Bill Self wants. Last night, K-State played, and we've seen now K-State shoot a ton of them, and we've seen Jerome Tang basically be perfectly happy with them shooting a ton of them. Where do you think Bill Self wants the 3-point shot with this group? Zeke Mayo and the rest? Like, does he want others shooting a lot of threes? What's the number that they're going to be comfortable with, do you think?
Well, I think Diggy needs to take more threes. I think, you know, I think he only took three. He needs to take more threes. You're hoping Ryland is a better three-point shooter than he showcased on Monday night, which he is. We've seen it in his stats in his 2 years at Alabama. I think he's taking eight threes is modern basketball. You need him to do it. You need it. It's perfect. I think Bill said it. You know, they have a team where they hope they can shoot 40% from three or as near close to it. And I think that's really in the realm of possibility with this Kansas team. I guess you're hoping for guys like A.J. Storr to figure out their shooting. DeJuan Harris to take open threes when needed. Obviously, Jamari McDowell's redshirting this year, so he doesn't really factor in the equation. But, you know, just these couple of guys, I think there is a surplus of threes that they can still make, right? Like, we're going to expect Hunter to probably make a three a game this coming year. We're probably expecting AJ to kind of hit a three a game, maybe a three and a half a game. It's going to be interesting to see how the numbers look as we get closer and closer to conference play. And obviously, you know, I don't think the way they're defended by UNC is going to be any close to the way they're defended by Howard. So the threes won't come as easily. But Zeke Mayo was taking a lot of threes in rhythm with people on him and draining them. I think he's going to be such a tremendous kind of addition to the squad. And Diggy, you know, as much as he'll play, I think he's going to have to just come out there and go bombs away. You want a guy who can come off the bench and go bombs away. And they have two guys who can do that, I think, this year.
Talk a little about play in the paint, if you don't mind. I mean, this was a game last night. It's hard to put a figure on, you know Howard University and the difficulty within that particular game, and particularly within the paint. But seven blocks by the University of Kansas, out rebounding Howard by eight. Talk a little about play in the paint. How important is that going to be to the University of Kansas? And what do you foresee? Who's going to be that one guy? Is it going to be Hunter Dickinson? Who's going to be the one guy that makes the difference in the paint?
Well, I think it's going to be Hunter and Flory, honestly. Flory's a tremendous rim protector. Ryland Griffin told me, and media did it, he's probably the best rim protector he's played with. He compared him to some of his Alabama teammates who were on that Final Four team, I think, that made that run. And I think that's meant, you know, as he gets better, as Flory gets better at playing college basketball, and, you know, he did a great job of not fouling the 17 minutes he played, but I think he's going to get better and better on the defensive end as he gets more comfortable. And the offensive end, you know, it's a clear cut thing. Kansas playing with pace is going to lead to easy paint points, and that's where they have a massive advantage in guys like KJ Adams and Flory Badunga, because they are going to end up getting a lot of easy dunks by just running up and down the floor. I think that's the way this Kansas team needs to play, is with pace, with franticness. You can't play at a slow enough pace. Like, because if you look at it, Hunter's probably the only person that shouldn't be running up and down the court with a ferocity. That lineup is built for playing run and gun basketball. And, you know, I think it's going to lead them to be a better team on the offensive end by running up and down the court. And I think it's something that Zeke Mayo alluded to, that they want to play in transition because they have such a massive advantage there. Teams don't have a KJ Adams. Teams don't have a DeJuan Harris or, you know, Zeke Mayo. Guys who are really good in transition and can end up changing and flipping games all the way around because of their ability to transition and get paint points. Like, that paint point advantage was 2-1, 40-20 against Howard. Obviously, Howard is not a team that really matters in the long grand scheme of things. But it's a positive trend that if you're a Kansas fan, you hope to see as much as a 10 to 15 point advantage in the paint for them to win games.
Now, Shreyas has an article right now up just in the last hour on Flory Badunga, his role there. You can go to the KC Star, check that out. Follow Shreyas on X as well, at SHRE98. Enjoy it. It is a fun time of year. The crossover is fun. It's not football like we thought, but it is an enjoyable time of the year to get both college football and college basketball.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Lotta, our KU insider. You can go back and watch and listen to his full interview on the Odyssey app, as you always can. So coming up in hour number two, we'll reset here a little bit. I want to get to the NFL trade deadline. One move made that the Chiefs were in on, they didn't get done. I think of absolute interest in the things that are happening across the league. So we'll talk about the NFL trade deadline, how many teams got a lot better in that trade deadline. Coming up top of next hour, Kevin Saul joins us for his regular visit here on Sports Daily. A lot to get to with Wichita State Athletic Director. We'll have that for you as we make our way to it. Let's do our HTO giveaway here on the way out of hour number one. It's a text to win contest, and you can get involved. You can win some free iced tea, 25 plus flavors of sweet and unsweet iced tea, including the all new peach cobbler. The seasonal flavor is back for tea. And then on the coffee side, featuring free rain coffee, you can get your iced and hot favorites. You can get one of each of these, and that features the new peppermint mocha, Paul, iced or hot. Whoa. It's very popular right now. If you're into getting festive a little early, you can check that out. All you got to do to win a tea and a coffee is text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. T20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We're coming right back. Kevin Saul joins the program next on Sports Daily.